Somebody earlier quoted Ephesians 3:10. It is God's will that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. And we believe that. We believe that the church is where it's at. Local churches are the primary vehicle by which God wants to communicate his glory, his majesty, and the good news of salvation in Christ. So we're bullish about the church in a huge way. Sorry about the small font. Next week we'll have big font, but you're going to have to suffer here this morning. C.S. Lewis at one point said, Christianity, if false, is of no great importance. Isn't that true? If Christianity is not true, we should all go to the beach or something this morning. And if true, it is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. And I would say, in the same way, the church is very, very important. If Christian faith is true, not only is Christianity very, very important, but the church is very, very important. There's an organization, Truth in Advertising, that kind of is a watchdog group that tries to give truth, obviously, in advertising and kind of tell people what they're up to in a particular product. And in a sense, the teaching in the next couple of minutes is truth in advertising for the church. We want you to know what we're up to. 37 years, I want to say thank you to the church for allowing me to teach and to lead. It has been an amazing journey. I want to tell you, I think you are a very gracious group of people. And may that grace permeate all of our relationships and everything we do. I'm thankful for God's protection, for his faithfulness in our body. I'm thankful that we're a simple, ordinary church. There is such an emphasis in the broader Christian community today on being edgy, relevant, extreme, explosive, awesome, glitzy, bling bling, whatever you want to throw it in there. There's such a huge emphasis on all of that. I saw an ad the other day in Christianity Today and said, how to take your church to the whole next level. And it never said what that level was. And I thought, oh, that'd be cool, but what is the level? We're just an ordinary church. Whatever happened to ordinary? God works through ordinary people and ordinary churches through ordinary means. The Bible, prayer, fellowship, service, worship. And so we're an ordinary church. Gosh, when I think about it, we only have one staff member that even has a tattoo. Just one. That's not edgy. And you want to know who it is. I know. You would never guess. It's Benji. Really. That's very much of a surprise to me. I'm for tattoos, but they're painful, so I'm not going to get one. So today is a reminder to recommit ourselves to our core values as a church and for newer folks to know what we're about. John MacArthur, who was my old pastor when I was a junior high and high school student, put it this way. Your church's greatest enemy isn't the government, the culture, Hollywood producers, or the liberal media. Somebody say amen to that. If our churches are to be destroyed or rendered ineffective and stagnant, that will happen at the hands of her own people. One of my greatest fears, and I would concur with this as a pastor, for the church I pastor is that we would unwittingly abandon the vital principles that keep us healthy, growing, and strong. The elders have worked pretty hard for quite a while on this mission statement. We have not had a mission statement for 37 years. We thought we ought to get up to date and have one. We've certainly known what we're about, but this is a mission statement that the elders, your pastors, have adopted for our body that hopefully gives a succinct statement as to what our mission is and what we're about. And I'm going to take the next couple of minutes and simply unpack this a bit. But could we say it together? And let's just do this in unison. The mission Santa Barbara Community Church is to be a community of believers looking upward to God, growing inward in Christ, and moving outward of the Spirit for the glory of God. So four ingredients that make us who we are, that explain our mission. And the first is this, and as we take apart this, that we're a community of believers. So we're just going to be in the book of Ephesians here and kind of looking around. So I hope you have your Bibles open. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. The Apostle Paul is writing to a local church. Oh, I asked this question in the first service. I want to see how many of you have been to the city of Ephesus in modern day Turkey? Yeah, a lot of hands, more in the first service, but yeah, a lot of hands. So when you're there, I was there, and when you're there, it gives a certain earthiness to reading the letter to the church at Ephesus, because you can stand, honestly, at certain places that you know the Apostle Paul and his cohorts were right there. So that he's writing to real people in a real city, in a real church. And he says this, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints." By the way, yesterday Mother Teresa became a saint. And I guess that's fine. But I want you to know in the New Testament, all Christians all the time are always referred to as saints. We are the saints, the holy ones of God. So he refers to all the believers there as saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, maybe if you have a different translation, the whole house, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Often, you will find that people will group in our culture around, they'll form communities around different areas. So you can have communities that are built around common interests. It might be music, it might be cooking, you could belong to a wine club or a politic club, and there's community around those common interests. It might be a common sport. Communities are built around sports. It could be softball or soccer or basketball, any sport. Communities are built around age. So you have retirement communities, and those are for people that are generally of a certain demographic and age. You have MOPS groups. A lot of the moms here would be in a MOPS group. There's community around a MOPS group. I know a lot of moms take their kids, smaller kids, to play groups, and they'll, you know, a group of them will meet at a playground on a particular morning, and their kids will play. And in that, there is community. There's community that has to do with service. It could be the Rotary Club. It could be some environmental group. All kinds of groups in our town that do work to serve our community. Or possibly a common experience. Alcoholics Anonymous is such a group. And a good one. There's a community built around a common experience of striving towards sobriety. College students have a certain community just by nature of, if you live in a dorm or an apartment where there's a lot of college students, there's almost an automatic community. But I want you to know that the church is a community of people that are not built around common interests or common service or common age, but rather a common experience of being born again by Jesus Christ. This is the glue that holds us together in a church. And so many times you find churches that find their identity in things really other than the gospel, maybe alongside the gospel. You have cowboy churches, you have motorcycle churches, you have surfer churches. And I kind of get all that. I guess at one level it's kind of fine. But it's so important that we remember where we get our primary identity. I have a friend who was in a huge mega church this summer, gigantic, and he told me I was visiting, and we're talking thousands and thousands of people. And in the sanctuary, they have, we'll never do this here, trust me, but they have sections that are based on interests. So if you have a particular interest, that's your section. And he found himself in a section that was the health and fitness section. And I said, well, what did you think? And he said, I felt very uncomfortable. I wanted to be in the donuts and bacon section. But anyway, I guess I understand that. There's nothing wrong with necessarily finding people in your church. And I would suggest we even try to do that here, who have common interests and you build a friendship or a relationship, as long as we always remember that the glue that holds us together as a church must be our relationship with Christ, the fact that we have a new standing with God through Jesus. Children today, first through fourth graders, I'm going to talk to you guys a couple of times in the teaching, and I keep drawing, and I know some of your parents are drawing too, I can see that. But I want you to know that the church, this is your church, that the church is not like AYSO. And by the way, AYSO is very cool, okay? And it's not like your school, and I hope you love your school, but the church is completely different because the thing that brings us together is God. And that's a big deal. That's a really, really big deal. So we want to remember that there's a spiritual family of born again people who have a relationship with God, and that's what brings us together. A couple of years ago, I did a wedding in Minneapolis in January, and there is a reason why houses are so expensive in Santa Barbara. You need to know that. I remember very clearly the morning of the wedding, I was listening to the radio, and they advocated, they're giving a public warning. They say, if you're older, and they didn't define what that meant, you shouldn't get your mail today because it's so cold, single digits, low single digits, that if you trip and fall on the sidewalk and there's not a neighbor to pick you up, you will die. So that's a great place to live, don't you think? In a town like that? Like, hey, you're going to die if you get your mail and fall. So it was so strange. It was just so cold and single digits, like I said, and lots of snow and wind. And the wedding was in an atrium. And you walked into this atrium and it was like instant Costa Rica. I mean, it was humid. It was 80 degrees. It was full of big green lush plants and flowers and all the rest. And everybody's taking their clothes off and, you know, I mean their coats and hats and all that. And, but it was so amazing. And I was in there, I remember thinking, this is an interesting picture of the church. It's not a perfect illustration, but there's warmth, there's growth, there's life, and it's very distinct from the coldness out there. And so the church is to find its community, its commonness in our relationship with Christ. Don Carson, theologian, puts it this way. Maybe he overstates it a bit, but he says, ideally, the church is not made up of natural friends. It is made up of natural enemies. Possible overstatement, but what binds us together is not common education, common race, common income levels, common politics, common ancestry, common accents, common jobs, or anything else of that sort. I loved VJ's prayer this morning. Thank you, VJ, for praying that prayer. You prayed the same thing, that what holds us together is our relationship with Christ. We come from very different places, but the beauty is so wonderful at Santa Barbara Community Church. I want you to know, in my home group, which is the most holy and best of all home groups in the church, the demographic of our home group, the youngest person is 20, and the oldest person is 80. And we have an even spread of everything in between. And it is so rich. It is so wonderful to study the Word and to worship, and we get to sing a lot. With a group of people who have different concerns, there are different places in life. But oh, the commonness that brings us together in Christ. So this is so very, very important. I want to remind you, church, that your identity in Christ is more fundamental to you, who you are, than your job, than your education, than your marital status, than your ethnicity, than any of these things, your hobbies, any way you want to define yourselves. All of those other things are fine, but the number one thing that defines a Christian in the church is our born-again relationship with Christ. And hence, we have to fight for community life. We have to fight for fellowship. We have to fight for interconnectedness. We need to work at these things. There's so many word pictures in the New Testament that describe churches: vine, flock, building, family, fellow citizen, royal priesthood, holy nation, spiritual house, God's household, holy temple, body of Christ. All of those are slightly different word pictures, but the one thing that all of them have in common is they all point to an interconnectedness of the people who are part of the church. Born-again people are called to grow in a committed community of believers called the church. And again, this is always hard. I do this every year, but I just want to say it. If you are a casual, occasionally I show up on Sunday, I'm a church hopper. I don't really want to be in a small group. I want loose involvement, a lack of commitment. Could I just say you're missing out on the beauty and the depth of church life? If you don't connect with other believers, ultimately you will be very disappointed in Santa Barbara Community Church. And frankly, ultimately you will leave. You may come in the front door, but you'll go out the back door. It won't take that long. I love to ask every year when I do this teaching, if you're a dog or you're a cat. And everybody in this room is either a spiritual dog or a spiritual cat. Cats are aloof. Dogs are committed. Cats show up if they're in the mood and there's not something else going on that keeps their interest. It's true. Dogs always want to be loved. They always want to be petted. Cats can be gone for a few days, maybe even a week, and then they come back when they're again in the mood. But dogs tend to stick around if they're not lost. Cats always act as if they don't need you. Yeah, I'm independent. Where dogs will die if you don't pay attention to them. Are you a spiritual cat or dog? I had a guy at the end of the first service, after I made this point, he walked up to me, he got real close, and he just went, meow. And then he said, I want to be a dog. Don't be a spiritual cat. Okay. I've been teaching this and pushing this as we have in our church, commitment and involvement and being connected to other believers in this body. And it's dawned on me, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, there's a bit of an epiphany in my life where I think I finally realized that there are a fair amount of people who just don't want to be involved, who just want to come to a religious service occasionally. I guess you can do that, but to come late and leave early, to come occasionally, to not be connected in a small group, you'll just miss out on so much of the richness of what God has for us in church life. And to be a cat is kind of like eating a hamburger that's dry, doesn't have mustard and ketchup and tomatoes and lettuce. Tough thing to say when it's almost noon. That sounds good. And it's like being in a marriage where there's no intimacy. It's like surfing without waves. It's like golf without grass. Kids, it's like frozen yogurt without the toppings. It's like school without recess. What a bummer. My favorite subject, recess. So you can do it, but boy, what a sad thing. Looking upward to God, go to chapter 1. I'd love to read the whole chapter. If you're ever feeling bad about yourself, by the way, if you're having a bad day, read Ephesians 1. It is the longest run-on sentence in the Greek New Testament. Grammatically, it's a disaster. English teachers would just give it an F. But Paul is so excited. He just lists thing after thing after thing that God has done for us in Christ. It's a long list of the blessings of God in our life. But I want you to notice something. I'm not going to read the whole sentence, but just look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before he starts, he says, oh, thank you, God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. He stops himself in this long list and he says, to the praise of his glorious grace. Look at verse 12. He stops himself again, to the praise of his glory. Look at verse 14 at the end, to the praise of his glory. 3 times, to the praise of his glory. You know, we want to be a church that looks upward to God. We want to be a church that's all about God. Every person in this room has a reputation, and every church has a reputation. People have reputations. Oh, he's so smart. Or, oh, he's really outgoing. Or he's such a good athlete. Or maybe with Reed, he's such a good dresser. Or, you know, she's such a kind, warm person. Well, churches have reputations too. And our church is all about the greatness of God. Looking upward in worship and amazement at the gospel of grace. In thankful adoration for a God who would save rebels like us. And we have to say this morning, to the praise of his glory. I was playing tennis last week with a woman for the first time ever, really good tennis player, and we were hitting the ball, and in between, we were switching sides, we were talking a little bit. I didn't know her at all. And she said, oh, you're involved in Santa Barbara Community Church. I said, yeah. And she says, well, so-and-so goes to your church. And so-and-so goes to your church. She named a dozen people, some of whom I'm looking at right now. And this, she's never been to this, any of our services. She doesn't really know what we're up to. But we had a reputation because she knew a dozen people who she named. And I was very thankful. Fortunately, it was a good reputation. It was a good report. I want to tell you what I hope people would say about Santa Barbara Community Church who are not believers, who just either hear about us or maybe come to visit a service. Here's what I hope they would say. Oh, Santa Barbara Community Church, that church. Oh, they're really serious and passionate about God. You may not want to go there. They take this God thing way too seriously. I hope that's what they would say. What a compliment that would be. I had one friend a couple of years ago who I invited and came, not a believer. He came to one service, and as we left, we walked outside, and I was really curious to see what sort of comment he had. I don't think he'd been in a church in 2 decades. And he just looked at me and said, well, they sing like they really believe it. Well done. And I looked at him, I said, absolutely. We really believe it. Well, what we have to offer as a church is not a full service program for everyone. It is not entertainment oriented services or sermons that simply make you feel warm and fuzzy when you leave, but rather what we have to offer is God. and it is so much better. The promise of forgiveness of sins and freedom in Christ, wow, to the praise of his glory. This is what we get to be about. So we want to be a church that takes God very, very seriously, but doesn't take ourselves very seriously. We should laugh at ourselves often, and it's good to laugh together. It's so important because it helps us realize that we're not that important, but God is. I was researching a project this week. I won't tell you what it was about, but I don't spend any time on blogs, but I went on all these blogs that I'm not a blog guy, and I spent quite a few hours reading these blogs, working on this one issue, and I was shocked at how impressed people are with their own opinion. Really, I thought, you got to be kidding me. Everybody seemed to be an authority on whatever they wanted to say. We're a church that wants to take God seriously and have great levity at ourselves. Well, number three, unpack this a little more. Growing inward in Christ. Chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says, he gave some to be apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors and teachers to equip the saints. There's that word again, refers to all Christians, to saints, for the work of ministry or the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, other translation, to mature personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Christ, into the head who is Christ. We are a church that wants to move towards spiritual maturity in Christ. We want people to meet Christ, and kids that are here today, first through fourth graders, we look forward to a time, some of you have already made this decision, but we look forward to a time when you personally will make your faith your own. But once somebody becomes a Christian, is born again, the goal of a church is to, for all of us together, to grow towards spiritual maturity. And the writers of the New Testament are often so frustrated with believers who stay as spiritual babies, stay as infants. So a huge part of our mission is to help each other grow towards maturity. So the first through fourth graders are here. I want to just ask you, first through fourth graders, look at me for a sec. You can go back to coloring in just a moment. So I can see a lot of you guys. I want to see the hands of everybody that's going into third grade. Come on, bold hands. Yeah, okay, a bunch down here. Yeah, okay, a lot of hands. How many of you that raised your hands would like to go back to second grade this year? Anybody? Dude, you're wrecking my illustration. Yeah. We are made to go to the next grade. A seventh grader doesn't want to go back to elementary school. A high school student doesn't want to go back to seventh grade. We're made to grow. We're made to mature. This is how God has made us. And so a part of our mission is to help one another grow towards spiritual life. Very simple question. How as a church we do that? There's a lot of ways. I'm just going to mention two real quickly. But how can we help each other grow? And I think the first and most simple one is we can point each other to the Word of God, the Bible. It's impossible to grow without the Scriptures. I want you to know Santa Barbara Community Church is a Bible church. We study the Word. We study it over and over again. I was thinking, I think this is our fourth or fifth round of going through the book of Romans. Fourth or fifth time in 37 years. And we'll do it again in a few years. You might say, why? Why all this emphasis on the Bible? Because we believe God has spoken. Okay, well, maybe we get it once. Why keep going over it? Because all of our vision for the Christian life is held in leaky buckets. All of it. I assume most of you in the room have had the experience this summer of being at the beach and maybe playing in the sand. And I've done it with my grandkids this summer. You know, at Summerlin Beach, you get a little bucket and you get up into the halfway to the dry sand and halfway down where the water is. And you sit there and you make castles or mud pies or whatever you make. And I've done that with my grandkids. And you get the little plastic bucket and you bring the water up so you can have plenty of water to work with the sand. And every bucket I've ever had has a crack or a hole in it. And so it slowly goes out, and then you got to run back to the water and fill it up and come back. It's all of our vision, all of our thinking about the Christian life is held in leaky buckets, which is why we repeat and keep filling up those buckets. And the primary way we do that is with the Word of God. Rick Warren, fairly well-known guy, puts it this way. I cannot overstate the value of being a part of a small Bible study discussion group, what we call home groups or gathering groups or praxis. We always learn from others truths we would never see or learn on our own. Other people will help you see insights you would miss and help you to apply God's truth in a practical way. This is why you hear so much talk about home groups in our church. Because this is the vehicle, the place where you can really talk and discuss and apply the truths of God's word to your particular life situation. You know, when your teachers are up here doing what I'm doing right now, we try to do it, but there's so many variety of places of life, it's a very, very difficult thing to do. But in a living room with 10 or 12 or 14 people, you can talk about how the Word of God could impact a certain individual. And this is where we're going to grow. So, God has spoken. Let me show you one more, the same passage we read, but I want you to see it in a different translation because I think it opens it up a bit, talking about a spiritual house. Because the second way we grow is not just with the Word of God, but also, again, in the context of community. Paul is talking about this new household, this new family, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. So this is worship. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So I'm circling around to what I was just talking about a few moments ago, that to grow spiritually is to feed on the Word of God, but is also to be involved in a community of people that will help you grow to move into this new spiritual house. You will never come to spiritual maturity sipping a latte with two or three friends or your favorite microbrewer, wherever it is. You might have those individuals in your life, but you need the larger spectrum of the family of God to help us move towards spiritual maturity. And that comes with a lot of joys, a lot of frustrations, a lot of quirkiness that attends church life. But oh, we'll be so much richer for it. Last quote. Hope you can see this one. It's a great one. Chuck Colson puts it this way. There is today a widespread belief that one can be a Christian and develop one's own faith system apart from the church. Spiritual cats. The proposition is ludicrous. Everyone regenerated, born again, is by definition a part of the universal church. It is not a matter of choice or membership. And following the pattern made normative in the book of Acts, each believer is to make his or her confession, be baptized, and become a part, I'd say a member, of a local congregation with all the accountability that implies. Membership in a church particular is no more optional than membership in the church universal. Or maybe as John Calvin put it more simply, you cannot have God as your father unless you have the church as your mother. I want you to know I'm inviting each and every individual here this morning to be a part, a member, fully integrated into the life of Santa Barbara Community Church. As we study the word together, as we pray together, I want you to know you're invited. So many times people will say, I didn't feel invited. I'm inviting you, okay? I'm saying this is a place that we would like you to come and sink your spiritual teeth in. Bugs me so often, I'll get every few weeks a phone call or a text from somebody who says, oh, I was at a great barbecue the other day. It was so much fun. Where were you? I wasn't invited. That's where I was. You're invited. Make no mistake about it. Well, lastly, oh boy, really, really quickly. Moving outward by the Spirit. We only have three chapters that make that point. Chapters 4, 5, and 6. As so many letters in the New Testament do, the first half establishes who we are in Christ, what God has done for us in Christ, and then the second half explains how we're to live that out. And part of our mission is to be a church that helps each other move outward by the Spirit. Not done in our own power, but living for Christ in the world, at school, at work, at play, and all that we do. Maybe the pivotal verse in these three chapters is chapter 5, verse 18, where Paul says, do not get drunk on wine. He's using that as an illustration because that leads to debauchery. Debauchery is uncontrolled action. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so there's the counterpoint. It's a vivid illustration. And Paul is basically saying in these three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, now go into the world in which you live under the power of the Holy Spirit and actually live out this new life, this new creation that God has made you in your world. So we have the great privilege of helping each other do that. The Christian life does not end with, begin and end with just internal private spiritual experience with Jesus, but it expands to a life lived in the world in which we live. So our worship service is going to be over in a couple of minutes. I'm pretty much done here. And we're going to take the Lord's Supper. We're going to sing a few more songs. We're going to say hi to each other on the patio, and slowly we'll filter out. And some people might say, well, you know, that's great, man. I had a little bit of God today, and it was super. I want you to know the worship continues tomorrow morning and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and through the week as we serve God out there, moving outward by his Spirit, because what he has done for us inwardly is he's made us new people. So I like to think a lot of times of our small group experience or our Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon experience where we worship and pray and teach and sing is kind of filling up the gas tank, a way to kind of be reminded of what we're up to so that now we go live this Christian life in our world. So for those of you who have given your life to Christ, who are trusting in Jesus for your salvation, who have been born again, I want to invite you to come and take bread and wine that just gives such tangible and wonderful evidence to what God has done in your life. This is for all believers. We practice an open communion here. So if you're visiting or out of town on this Labor Day weekend and you know Jesus, you're trusting in him and not your own righteousness, not your good works, but you're trusting in what he did on the cross, come and worship and say, oh, what a God. As we just saw in chapter 1 of Ephesians, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glorious grace. So let's come and worship. There'll be prayer teams on either side of the church.